Thank you. You're very brave. Glad you stay so strong.
We are a team. We help each other. And our coach help us.
Coach.
ผมต้องขอโทษด้วยนะครับที่พาเด็กมาเสี่ยงอันตราย
ไม่จริงครับ
ไม่ใช่ครับ
ขอโทษด้วยครับ
ขอใช้ครับโค้ช
คนเก่งที่สุดครับ
is because of our coach we are stay strong
hello and welcome to this special edition of the get your film fix podcast I am Jeremy Fisk joined by Chapin Hemingway and Lee Carlo today we will be reviewing the newest film fromAcademy Award-winning director Ron Howard, 13 Lives. So guys, the last time we talked about a Ron Howard film on this very podcast, it did not go over very well. We reviewed one of his most successful films. It won Best Picture for our retrospectives, A Beautiful Mind.And I think we were all relatively surprised by Jeremy, how, yeah.
That's not the most recent Ron Howard movie we reviewed.
Did we do Apollo 13 between then?
Nope. We did his most recent movie.
But Jeremy wasn't on that pod, yeah.
But he should still know what movies we've reviewed.
Yeah.
What movie did you do?
And we were very kind to that one.
The Great Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wasn't even, like, I would never even pulled that. Yeah, okay, good point. All right, so I guess the last couple films of Ron Howard's that were reviewed on this very podcast did not go over well. I think we were all surprised about Beautiful Mind and what we thought of that. I think we all relatively liked it back when it came out originally. I think you almost felt like you had to. Back in the day, we used to call that the Ron Howard Oscar machine, where he sort of figured out this formula to make glossy, feel-good films that just did well at award shows that maybe didn't really work, but everyone's like, oh, yeah, I felt it. So here we are with 13 Lives, his newest film. It's based on a true story of this rescue mission that happened in Thailand with a group of... A small group, 13 of them, soccer players, kids, got trapped in a cave when the cave flooded. And I remember this happening and it becoming a huge international story as they waited, as day after day went by and they're trying to figure out how to get these kids out. And I always wondered, like, why would, like, when you're kind of just following the news stories of this, you're not, you don't really know the sort of day-to-day stuff. And I'm like, why can't they just get them? Like, why, like, what can be so difficult? They're getting into them. They're giving them food. So just instead of bringing the food, you bring one of them back. I didn't quite understand, but this movie sort of goes into the details of why that was so difficult. And I guess my long-winded question for you guys is, does this redeem Ron Howard for you after the last two pods of talking about his movies and sort of tearing them apart?
Yes. I love this movie. I absolutely loved it. I don't know why. You know, what didn't like, it's not like this really emotional, you know, like it's not really to my taste, but I was just hooked the entire time. I disagree with what happens.
Chapin, I think it is to your taste. It's men that are good at their jobs doing their jobs
underwater. Yeah,
why didn't Michael Mann direct this? No, but like I knew they all got out, but I was still just like so just on the edge of my seat. And
I didn't remember if they all got out, honestly.
I mean, Howard, like, this is, you know, I mean, this isn't that much different than Apollo 13. You know, it's kind of the same plot, and the guy knows what to do, and he uses modern techniques to really tell this story in an intriguing way. And oh man, I was just, I thought it was so good, and I was so surprised because I was kind of expecting this saccharine Ron Howard, you know, sort of telling of the story, given the last two movies, as you said, that we reviewed of his. And boy, I thought he just captured the drama so well, and really, I think, controlled himself. You know, I mean, I think he can, the guy can get overly emotional in his films and can be kind of, I don't know, what, too much, just overdoing it with music and etc. But boy, I thought he just, there, this was a great work in restraint for a story that is very moving, I think, and
very emotional. Yeah. Do you think that it helped him that he decided to tell this story that it's mostly from the point of view of the rescuers played by Colin Farrell and Joel Edgerton and Viggo Mortensen?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I really do miss the white savior genre, and I'm glad that it's back in a big way.
I know. I thought of that, too, and I was like, is it? Like, it
no,
is, it,
that's exactly how it happened.
But
it's
it really,
exactly
yeah.
How it
yeah, right.
The whites are our saviors for real.
Yeah.
That's true.
in this case.
Yeah. So, well, Chapin, where I really agree with you is Howard's restraint in this movie. Like, it was begging for a like big emotional speech, or like one of the parents blowing up, and like there was a small scene where the mother of one of the kids got upset, but there was no villain really to point fingers at throughout this movie. And
the
he did show
was the rain.
He did show a lot of restraint in making sure that he wasn't manipulative at all throughout telling this story. On the flip side, I kind of would have liked a big emotional swell at the end to kind of put the topper on this feel good story. I thought that while it was restrained and he showed a lot of maturity there, like he maybe didn't take full advantage of what a feel good story this is. Now, all that having been said, at its worst, this is an extremely competent movie. And then I think that there's some really, really great things that he does throughout, both filmmaking, storytelling, the acting I think is great. I had two issues with it. One sort of came from the fact that last year I watched the documentary The Rescue about this.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing. How's that?
It's really good, and some of the footage they have is incredible. It's directed by the same guy that directed Free Solo, Dan
sweet.
Something. And it's really good, but I knew all the details about this story and how they accomplished everything. And this movie, this 13 Lives, nails it. Like, it hits all the important pieces and it touches on them really nicely. But because I knew all those details, a little bit was taken away watching this.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't watch that.
I didn't have the edge of my seat feeling that I kind of wish I had, and I think that this movie deserves. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting is the repetition throughout this movie. While it's 2.5 hours long, it didn't feel too long, but we did see a lot of the same things over and over again. I'm wondering how you guys felt about that.
Mm-hmm. It didn't bother me. I understand what you're saying. Like literally as they have to, once they figured out how they were getting the boys out, they pretty much repeated that scene over and over again. But, you know, Ron Howard does a good job of, like, even though we're repeating that scene with a different kid, like, he does a good job of showing that, you know, each person is a different human and each life matters.
But even before that, you have these guys going back and forth and back and forth and then having kind of like the same conversations.
The back and forth a little bit gets done each time. They learn a little bit more. They get a little bit farther. The rope goes a little bit farther. You know, sometimes tragedy strikes, you know, so I don't think it's that repetitive in that way.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the thing, I mean, we talked about the subtleties of this movie and Howard restraining himself and not hamming it up or putting this big swell of music or anything. And I think it was noted by everyone on set. It was especially noted by the performances too. You have the actors, these three actors in particular, giving some of their most subtle performances I've ever seen of them.
And so good, especially Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell are just so good.
Yeah.
I think these aren't roles that, I don't know, they won't be nominated for Oscars for these roles. They're not that kind of performance. No. But, you know, these roles, you could approach this film and say, in the pre-production stage, and say, you know, we could probably get away with this not being movie stars, but they cast these, like, titans from 10 years ago. I mean, imagine Colin Farrell and Viggo Mortensen in a movie in the mid-aughts, you know, like, together. Right. It would have been epic. But these guys are so competent, and they're not showy performances, and they just do such a good job. And it adds so much gravity to the film that you wouldn't think it would, you know, like they don't have those big moments. They don't have those big emotional speeches or moments. There isn't anything like sort of ostensibly to sink your teeth in here, but it makes the movie so competent with those performances.
I also think there's a really smart piece of writing for Rick Stanton, who's played by Viggo Mortensen, and that this guy is no saint. Like, he says on multiple occasions, he's like, if I'm not coming back out, I'm not going in. He's like, if we don't get all these kids out alive, we don't get all these kids out alive. Like, he is very blunt, and he's not a jerk, and he's not, doesn't want anybody to die or get hurt, but he's also kind of looking out for himself. And I think that's like, these are civilians, these divers that go in and rescue these kids. They're trained cave divers that have been doing it for a long time. And we get some really kind of cool scenes where they outline the difference between cave diving and open ocean diving that the Navy SEALs are trained to do. And, you know, why these guys are more suited for the rescue mission than the SEALs. But they're civilians. They're volunteering their time, and they don't try to, the movie doesn't try to portray them as heroes. Does that make sense? Like, these are just regular people that they've given personalities to
themselves.
And I think it's
heroes.
Really good writing. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, they're just kind of there waiting until they're told what to do. They don't jump in and say, like, that we're the heroes of this story. Like, none of that is there.
Yeah, there's
so
lot
many
of
shots where they're just like standing there drinking coffee and stuff.
Well,
right.
Kate,
I mean, they're not even real. I mean, I don't know that the film made this clear, but those two guys, Richard and John, they don't even do this as a living. It's like a hobby.
Yeah, they say one of them's like a accountant or something. I forget what it was. Yeah,
Richard Stanton was a firefighter.
Right.
And so these guys they just have an expertise because of this hobby that they do. And I mean, to me, like, I think what's interesting about what you just said, Lee, is that sort of is heroic, right? Like, it was really moving to see how all these people came together for these kids, but these guys came out, like you said, as volunteers, and they weren't there to save the day. They were there to lend their expertise to this cause, and without a lot of fanfare. And I think that's very heroic and
I mean, they absolutely are heroes, but I love the writing and the nature of their performances. This movie never tries to highlight that heroism. This movie is about the bigger picture, which is what this event was. There's a great overhead shot, probably midway through the movie, where you see the tents that have been set up over like a massive span of land to show how many people have come out to help. And you see people cooking and serving coffee and all these different types of volunteers there to just do whatever they can. It's about the bigger picture. It's all about getting these 13 people out of the cave. You have these people that sacrifice their farms so that the water can be diverted into it. There's another great wide shot of those farms just completely flooded. And I think that is what's so smart about this movie, is that it focuses on the big picture of the task at hand. It's not, there's no like star of this movie. I mean, if you were to say who's the lead in this movie, is it Colin Farrell? Maybe, like, it's those two guys, I guess, but it's not about them. And that's why we're allowed to admire the heroism, but we're not watching a movie about heroes.
Yeah. I totally agree with everything you guys just said. I would disagree a little bit with what Chapin said about award recognition, because I feel like there's a very good chance that Colin Farrell is going to at least get a Fixie nomination for this. I loved his performance in this. This is one of my favorite Colin Farrell performances of all time. I don't know what it is about this and how you pull it off, really. But all three of them were able to accomplish this subtle acting where...
It's just like you act like a human being.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like you act like a human being, but there's definitely something they're doing that's sort of portraying empathy onto the screen that without being big or showy, like you guys are talking about, without having a moment, which definitely could have been thrown in here, a moment where like one of them makes a decision to maybe sacrifice himself for the greater good and still makes, if you were going to stay true to the story, they still make it out alive, but you could still have that moment where they think they're not going to live and they do it for that. And it's like, I don't know what it, like, I just, the way they talk to each other, the way they interact, I think it was the character of Chris, another of the English guys, who just like kind of broke down a little bit because all he did was like apologize because he lost the rope and had to pull his kid out to the side, and they're like, yeah, don't worry about it, it was all fine. The way Joel Edgerton's Harry, who's a anesthesiologist, is able to sort of talk to the kids even though they don't speak the same language and calm them down, and the fact that he knows in the back of his mind like they could die because this is a long journey that they're taking while they're under, and they're not both under anesthesia and under the water for 5 hours. Like, he knows that every time he puts that needle into their legs, but nobody's like, there's never that moment where they're just like, well, I hope you make it, kid. And
it's this very good writing. There's very good character development in the writing. You have very good actors playing these very competent people who are good at their job and smart and know why they're there. Like, these are all just pieces of a recipe that make for a successful film and make for a successful character. And I just think it's all stuff that we also love. We love competent characters. We love characters that are good at their jobs. And these guys are that. And I think that's like the best parts of this movie. Again, I want to get into a little bit of the technical stuff that I liked, and then I want to get into maybe a couple things that I thought didn't totally work, although I mentioned a couple of them. But I just with the acting, so before we leave that, I just wonder if I'm curious what you guys think. Was more of this I'm trying to think of the best way to word it. Did Mortensen and Farrell specifically bring more to these roles than was on the page, or do you guys credit the writing a lot?
No,
like a 50-50 split?
I think it's both, but they brought a pathos to this, those characters that just... I think it was both.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. They're definitely doing something here that's really impressive, that's adding to... what could have been if in lesser hands, lesser actors would have, that could have been really boring. Those could have been boring performances.
Well, you know, but what's funny that something. You say that is I had this thought after, because I have no evidence that this is happening, but 13 Lives and this story in particular is one of those types of movies that always seems to get like a made for TV doppelganger. That would be all of the problems that we're talking about this movie not having with like the way that the performances are, like the lack of sincerity, the lack of subtlety, all that stuff wouldn't be there. And that's exactly what you're saying. In lesser hands, which we've seen a million movies just like this in lesser hands that just don't work because they focus on the wrong things, they emphasize the wrong things. And again, I just think there's a lot of restraint and maturity in Howard's direction here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. What were some of those technical things that stood out to you, Lee?
So the underwater stuff, which I thought was really, really good, in particular, the sound design of the underwater stuff.
Yeah.
If you pay attention, like the clinking of the tanks, like all of this stuff that I think that they had to have done a lot of that in post.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and
it was all of it.
So, so good and like so claustrophobic, because kind of the cool thing that they did is they, and again, something else that they could have just cheated on is made that water completely clear and visible. And that was not the case. This was like mucky, dirty water, and you could barely see the entire person
evidently
in the frame.
It wasn't as muddy as it was in real life, but of course they couldn't do that.
Obviously, right, you need to see sense. Something.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a smart choice, and I just think, again, I maybe I had an issue with the repetition here and there. I don't know if that was really a problem for me, or if it was just something I noticed. But to have these scenes where you're essentially like swimming through these like caves where we can't really navigate it, they can't really navigate it all that well, and all we have are these like visual cues. Like there's the stalagmite part of the cave where we see the things hanging down. We know that.
Right.
We have chamber three. We're familiar with that. We have the red rope. We have the blue rope. We know how far along they are. Like all these little visual cues that we're given, I think was just such smart filmmaking and smart cinematography and just really well done. And again, the sound design blew me away, especially the underwater sound design.
Yeah. I'm assuming they built the cave, right?
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then did they film at the actual cave for like the opening, like the opening of the cave?
That's a good question.
I wonder, because that's going to be too hard to recreate.
I mean, there might have been some wide shots that they just green screened or something, but.
But yeah, it was pretty seamless. And I feel like this is the culmination of what, I guess, Apollo 13 aside, but this is kind of the culmination of what like people considered Ron Howard as a director for years, when I don't think he really had earned that.
I mean, this is the closest in terms, like you said, Chapin, this is the closest in like the type of movie that Apollo 13 is. You know, it's a rescue mission. It's a feel good story in the end. It's against all odds. It's kind of checks all of those boxes, and we know that Ron Howard can do that well. And I mean, I don't think that this movie stands up to Apollo 13. And part of that is, like I said, like I think this movie deserved a little emotional manipulation, if I'm being honest. Not throughout the whole thing, but maybe at the end. Like, where was the swell of music and all the people cheering and stuff when that last person came out? Like, that remained very subtle. And I don't know, that I think that may go either way for you. You may like that choice, or in my case, I think this movie deserved a happier ending, so to speak.
Than everyone living?
Well, just in terms of movie making. Like,
yeah, no,
that final scene in Apollo 13 where he says, "Houston, it's good to see you again," and that music hits, like there are very few feel good moments in movies as good as that. And that caps off what is such a great movie, full of suspense and, you know, edge of your seat thrills. And I think this movie had the same formula and could have used that. And now, again, maybe he doesn't want to just do a copy of Apollo 13. I understand that too, but
I thought the ending was fine. Totally fine.
You guys don't want the emotional music?
No, I get what you're saying, but I think it would have been harder on this one, because like Apollo 13, like, if you compare the two, they would be inside the cave. They would have been the kids, whereas this movie takes a different perspective. So
that's true.
You can't really have that with like they're not gonna show up to the hospital and hug the kids. You know, like they're not gonna be able to have that moment.
I mean, you have that nice moment at the hospital. There were a couple moments in this movie where I was fighting back a little tear here and there, just because, you know, it was tugging at your heartstrings and you cared about, like, you were thinking about these parents that were just sitting around waiting, and not knowing, and then when they finally find out that they got to them and know that they're alive, they're not even out yet. Like, that's a great moment. And I just think that they were opportunities for, you know, to pull those tears all the way out. Get me crying. You know? Mm. That's all.
I wouldn't have liked that. We just got done talking about restraint.
I know, and there can be both. Apollo 13 is plenty restrained.
But I think restraint earns it in the end. Like, I think you could earn that moment if the whole movie is restraint like it is, you know? So, I agree with you, Lee, but I just think it was a harder movie.
I think it's fine without it. I'm just saying I would have liked it.
Can we just say that, like, I think that was a really smart decision to deny the audience images of the boys safe until Viggo and Colin Farrell rescue them. Like, we don't see them
right
ever until they arrive at the location where they're hiding out.
Oh, and the first time they find them, you mean?
Yeah, you don't see they go into the cave and you don't see the boys until that moment.
Well, and that's footage,
so smart.
That footage is real and is in the documentary when they get there. Because that's the first time anybody knew that they were alive.
Oh, cause from the camera that they had?
That they had with them, yeah. And they have that kid say that they're hungry and like that. And it's like, it's just like it. I mean, I agree, Chapin. It's smart just from a structure and narrative storytelling point of view to leave that there. Like, wait until we have the characters whose point of view we're following find out if they're okay.
He kind of bookends it with the hospital shot too, because we don't see once the kids get into the ambulance, they're still like sedated and under. We don't know if they're going to be okay. And
That's
then true. He has that hospital shot with all of them back together, where you sort of find out that they, you know, that they are going to be all right. So well done, Ron Howard.
Yeah, so apparently he's still got it. I mean, we, after Hillbilly Elegy, Chapin and I were kind of going through his filmography and starting to question his work. Like, Apollo 13 is one of our favorite movies, but then, you know, we were going through things like A Beautiful Mind, which he had got a lot of acclaim for, and like movies like Cinderella Man, and then you have the Robert Langdon movies with Tom Hanks, and then you start going into like the Hillbilly Elegies and the what's the whaling movie, At the Heart of the Sea, and movies just like completely did not work. And we're like, is Ron Howard a good director, or did he just have one good movie and we kind of forgave him for the rest? And I think that this proves that he is a talented director. He needs good material, and I think he needs to
every 30 years.
Well, I think it has to all. I don't know this for sure. I think he needs to like really care about the subject he's filming. And you can tell with a movie like Apollo 13, you can tell with this, is that he cares about the story he's telling. Going back through A Beautiful Mind, I don't know that he cared about that story at all. Like, it was so paint by number.
Well, maybe he needs a real story, because let's look at his good movies. Like Apollo 13. I think Rush is pretty good.
Frost Nixon.
I mean, I guess Hillbilly Elegy is a real story, but like, I don't know. That
is
really
it
counts.
Is it a real story? Story of some guy who nobody cares about his life.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's now running for Congress, so.
Yeah, I know. No, but still nobody cares about him though.
Nobody cares. I think we talked about this. Was it on Apollo 13? Where we said he's good when you can pitch the movie in an elevator in two sentences. And this is one of them.
Yeah.
This is a good example of that.
Yeah. Good point. Now, is everybody, but like you say, he's good. Isn't everybody though?
No, I don't. That. No, I think if Paul Thomas Anderson pitched you each one of his movies, you'd say, oh, I can't stand. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, but how does he even pitch it in an elevator?
But, exactly.
But my point is the other way around. If you pitched this story or a simple elevator pitch to Paul Thomas Anderson, he would do good at that too. I think the more impressive thing is the people who can direct the movies that don't fit in the elevator pitch.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I'd like to discuss next is what is
more
his
of a slight.
Yeah, what
would
is
Paul
his
Thomas
skill,
Anderson
though?
Be good at this though?
No, I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
I
think
so much that.
And I'd say I said Michael Mann. Michael Mann would muck this up too. I mean, he would. I don't know. But like, it might be a more interesting movie to watch in terms of like the direction. But is this how you want that story told? I don't know. I don't know.
I was watching Miami Vice last night, and I don't know. You get some go fast boats out there and just cruise through the tunnels. They'd have them out of there in no time.
Yeah, I don't know that they'd fit.
Okay, well, I'm spitballing how Michael Mann would make it work. So what's your question? Howard good at?
Yeah, like what is he actually good at? Like if
well,
you
he's
had
good
to
at filming
him
in confined spaces, creating suspense in confined spaces. Because, you know, again, we just compare it to Apollo 13. You have the same sort of structure here. You have the same idea in improvising when you don't have a lot of options in a small space. And I don't know. I think he needs a better script than I think we've thought in the past, because what he was able to do at the height of his career is, you know, gather the appropriate cinematographer for that time of year, period of time, and then get all the biggest actors. And
I don't think Ron Howard
probably a less than great script. And, you know, I think Beautiful Mind, the screenplay is not that interesting. Cinderella Man is pretty basic. I think Frost Nixon is a much more interesting screenplay, but then you go into like Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code and those types of movies that are just like, they're not interesting stories to tell. So it doesn't matter if you have Tom Hanks or Russell Crowe or whoever you happen to have, it's just not going to work. Where movies like Apollo 13 and 13 Lives, he has such good screenplay to work with that he can get good actors, but he doesn't need movie stars to make this movie work. And he got a good cinematographer here, but it's not like he got Roger Deakins or Lubezki or somebody like that. He got the guy that Jeremy just worked with. Can't pronounce his name.
Yeah. So I agree. I think Ron Howard, he can't save a bad script. Ron Howard as a director can't save a bad script. He can elevate a good script a little bit, but he can't save a bad script.
Well, who can save a bad script?
I feel like PTA can. I almost like
mean his own script.
He writes.
Yeah, like I feel like Punch Drunk Love is not a particularly good script. I think he would admit that, and I think he had to like start over several times.
I think Michael Mann can save a bad script. He's done it. Done it before.
That's true.
Although, like, it does leave a lot to, like, about whether or not those movies are actually good or whether you just like what he did with it. So, what is the definition of saving?
Right. But I put my cards on the table when it came to Colin Farrell because I absolutely loved him. But do you guys think this is going to be there at the end for either of you? For any
I'm with you on those two performances. Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell, I thought were so, so good. I'm a little torn on, like, how I, like, feel about this movie as a whole. I'm excited to watch it again. It's like definitely. I mean, I even kind of wanted to watch it again the next night because it's just such a fascinating story.
But you're torn on how much you liked it.
Well, I don't know is this a transcendent movie?
No, but
and like that's the thing is like this is a super enjoyable movie, and I think there's a lot of good things in it, and I also think that there's a lot of details that a second viewing would uncover. So that's why I'm excited to watch it again, but I don't know that this is something that's going to be one of the best movies of the year.
I mean, I'd be
surprised. Is it
going to
check all of those boxes at the end of the year?
If it's not on any of our top 10s by the end of the year,
I'd be surprised about that too. This to me,
I mean, that would
feels
be great.
Like,
that would mean it was a great year.
This to me would feel like a bottom five of my top 10, where it's like, this is a movie I really enjoyed, that it did just about everything well. But it's not a movie that we're going to be talking about forever that I expect in my top five.
I think part of it has to go to your point, Lee, about you having seen the documentary. Like,
yeah,
I don't have the strong sense to rewatch it because I know what happened. Whereas when I watched it originally, I didn't know it happened. I didn't know if they all survived, if some of them survived, or I mean, like find like the idea of how they got them out. That was kind of mind blowing to me. Like, you know, that was all really cool to discover the first time. And like thinking about watching it again, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, the documentary, I think the biggest thing that took away from me was a little bit of the edge of my seat aspect of this movie. You know, I was sort of waiting for Joel Edgerton's character to show up and for them to discuss the sedation. And, you know, that doesn't totally matter because it's really interesting to see a story that you know and that you know from seeing, you know, the documentary recently. It's really interesting to see how somebody creates that into a narrative, into a movie. And, you know, I don't know that I really could have asked for a whole lot more from this. So I don't, you know, again, I don't know what's missing exactly for me, but I think it's just that there's nothing about this movie that's going to like truly stand the test of time. I think it's going to be, you know, probably one of the top 10 movies of this year. And I think with just some extraordinary performances.
Well, we'll find out, you know, next fixies where
you guys
it fits.
Definitely watch The Rescue, directed by Jimmy Chin and Elizabeth Chai Vass, I don't know how to say her last name. It's probably on Disney Plus because it's a National Geographic movie.
Doesn't Jimmy Chin have like a new show out too?
Yeah, he does. I forget what it's called though. Yeah. About like extreme sports or extreme adventure sports and stuff. All right, so we got to figure out who's who in this scenario.
Oh, this is a good one for that. So you got three main characters and
Rick
three
Stanton,
of us.
John Valantin and Harry Harris. So what do you guys think?
I feel like I'm more Colin Farrell character.
I feel like Jeremy gets the win every time.
Well, he's not the best. He's not the best.
Well, I think, Chapin, I think you're Rick, Viggo Mortensen's.
What, because I'm taciturn?
He's a little moody. So that makes me Harry Harris. So am I an anesthesiologist? That's cool.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm not as good a diver. So here's the question. Who would be a better diver, me or Jeremy?
Jeremy.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, being the only one who is actually a diver here, I think
right,
I can
that's why I'm
that
asking
question.
You.
Yeah, I think you being able to sort of be calm and have, you know, control over your emotions and that kind of thing.
It's this reputation that I've generated of being somebody like that flies off the handle is I don't like it. I don't know where it comes
flies
from.
Off the handle. So
Lee, calm down. He's just saying this.
I don't fly off the fucking handle.
Just calm it down,
sir. Relax.
Yeah, I've never. Lee, have you ever? Done a
scuba
dive?
Dived.
Yeah, scuba dived.
I did it once in a pool with a tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was really young with my friend's dad, who was like a certified instructor.
Yeah.
He
it's
took
just
us in the
you
pool
two?
And just, well, just
like,
me
yeah,
and his
come
dad.
Here.
Yeah.
Let me
we
show
went
you
to the
dive,
locker room.
Kit.
You put this in
no,
your
it was
mouth
for like his. It was like it was for his birthday party. We went to a pool and we just like got to basically like swim a lap with the gear on. That's all I remember. It's the only time I've done it.
I've never done it. I'd like to.
Yeah. I think I'll start in a cave.
Are you certified, Chapin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You'd be the best at it probably then.
Yeah, so that's what I
mean,
think.
Maybe it'd be different now, but like, you know, it's easy to panic underwater and you got to be able to sort of control yourself. And
I do think that was a nice touch when they... At the beginning of the movie, when they had to rescue a guy from like one chamber over, and he freaked out and almost didn't make it, and that's like sort of like, oh yeah, there's no way the kids are making this 5-hour trip without.
And then Yeah, well, let me come back to that for a second. I love that they say this. I mean, it's an obvious point. It probably had to be there. But when Harry says, like, if these kids wake up underwater, like, they'll drown. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, can you imagine that? Like, you're under and you wake up and you're underwater?
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't drown. They have the mask, so they... But they would likely, it's just possible that they would panic. Yeah. I think I don't know. I think what really makes the sort of cave diving is extremely dangerous. And I remember there was this guy, he might have been involved in this rescue for all I know. I was looking it up, but I don't think so. There's this diver who's like one of the best cave divers in the world, much like these guys, right? And some amateur went down some insane cave that was like straight down essentially and died. And they were trying to retrieve his body. And the guy went down there. And when you're down that low, you're not only dealing with obviously the confines of being in a cave, but also the effects of, you know, of compression, of being, you know,
deep
under deep water. And he died, an expert, you know, and they don't really know how it happens. And they don't really, you know, they have some record, you know, they have some, like, some people have GoPro cameras, but like, there's no report that says, oh, he ran out of oxygen or he got lost. It's just, you know,
think about the psychology though, to enjoy this. Like, this is a big fear unlocked for a lot of people. A, claustrophobia, being in tight spaces and underwater at the same time. Like, there has to be...
Yeah, also, like, one way in, one way out. Like,
something
all
seriously,
stuff,
like, to get enjoyment out of that.
Well, and the man who died, Saman is his first name. I don't remember what his last name is. Is the only death that happened in this, and they mention it briefly in the movie that he was actually a retired Navy SEAL and came back just to volunteer, which makes it oddly even more tragic. But you see how simple a thing that can go wrong. The rope just got little, like, kind of wrapped around his tank, so he had to take off his tank to unravel it, and then that just the thing dropped and the air came out, and he didn't have enough air. Like, it's just such. How did that not happen to more people on going back and forth on this for like 6, 7, 8 hour dives each way, which is the other thing I wanted to bring up. And I'm not sure that this was emphasized enough, how long those dives were. Like, it's 7.5 hours in one way, like these guys are doing like 14, 15 hour dives and then
not to mention
like the amount of time in between getting the kids ready and everything, and then just going right back out. I don't think there was enough of that. Like, they went in when it was light out. The first guy came out when it was light out. Like, give me anything to show how long this is other than just a little subtitle that says where they are and how long they've been diving. Because...
Yeah. And even that blew my mind. Like, just
even
realizing
that is enough, right?
That.
Just be like 7.5 hours one way.
Yeah. It's
and then you got to take a kid unconscious with you another 7 hours back. Like, I don't even work 7 hour days. I'd be done before they're halfway there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But like, I just wish that they figured out a way to like really emphasize how much that was. Like, we see how difficult it is, but add that on top of it, I think would have been an even more, you know, emotional weight to this whole thing that I would have liked.
Yeah, and it also goes to show you like how quickly or how crazy it is that the kids got so far even without water in that cave.
Oh, I know.
Like,
well,
I guess
if there's no water, it probably took them what, 2 hours to get there? Or
yeah, it's still for something they just like casually did after a soccer practice. Let's go in the cave for 2 hours.
Well, and it's clearly they said like when Viggo Mortensen's looking at the website for it, when Colin Farrell calls him, he's like, it's a tourist cave. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
So it's clearly a place where people just go. But they also, it's like, all right, Thailand government or whoever's in charge of all that, they're like, monsoon season doesn't start till July when these caves get completely submerged. As we see at the end, 6 days later, I think it said the cave was completely submerged for 3 months. like, and they were in there for 17 days. I'm like, are we cutting it close a little bit? Maybe close the cave, like, in May or something?
Let's not take any chances. I wonder what the history of that cave is, how many people had died there previously. I'm sure that's...
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. I think that anything else, guys?
Well, we could do a quick round of cinema sequence here if you guys want. We got some good actors to kick it off.
Cinema sequence.
And Chapin won the last one, so we can't leave it at that.
Okay. All right. So, Lee, you should go first. I mean, you should answer first then.
Okay.
So I will stop. I'll pick somebody and then you go.
Okay.
All right. So let's just do Viggo Mortensen.
History of Violence.
Chapin.
William Hurt.
Is he in the boy? I want to say The Big Short. No, not that. What am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking of.
Five, four,
all right, I'm
three,
not thinking it.
Two. All right.
These are very short.
They are. All right, William Hurt. The Elephant Man?
Is he in that?
That's John Hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's close enough, right?
So I won again. So
Chapin won again?
Yep. All right. That'll do it.
What else is William Hurt in, Chapin?
William Hurt is in...
Let me check his IMDb.
Incredible Hulk.
Oh, my God. Boring.
What was I thinking of? Like, 90s.
You didn't get the Incredible Hulk.
The 90s. What was it? The Big Chill. That's what I was trying to go for.
You were close.
Yeah. A Big Chill. That's what I was thinking of.
All right. Well, 13 Lives can be found on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Stream it now.
And we can let everybody know what we're doing next.
What are we doing next?
20-year revisit of one of our favorites.
Adaptation.
Woo.
I'm excited to watch that. I haven't watched that in ages.
All right. Well, you know where to find it right here.
To get your film,
get your Film Fix podcast. That's gonna wrap this one up. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Jeremy.
Now I'm Harry, and you're a very brave boy. You're number one, and you're lucky because you get Jason. He's the number one diver in all the world. You've been missing the World Cup. Huh? Well, guess what? Brazil got knocked out. Huh? You would have seen one of those before. That was a shock, wasn't it? Brazil, huh? Guess who knocked them out? Belgium. They're really upset about that. Belgium. Get you out of here so that you can watch the rest of the game, son.